I want to read to you the first page of the introduction for the book, By What Standard? Edited by Jared Longshore and has numerous authors, Tom Askell, Vodi Bakum, Tim Klein, Mark Coppinger, Jared Longshore, Tom Nettles, Chad Vegas. I probably said some of those names wrong because I don't know all the names of them, but that's who writes sections of these chapters. But I want to give you a taste of what is in this book. You know, David Shannon, Chocolate Knox, as a lot of you know him, helped produce the movie By What Standard, and this is the book. And I highly recommend it. You can go over to the Founders Ministry. I think it's foundersmin.org. I could be wrong. I don't know. You can check it out. But read this, and then we're going to talk about something that I think we need to start thinking about from a strategic perspective. And I guess I should just write, you know, since we're already a minute into this recording, I should just say this is How to Build a Tent. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Williams. We're part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to flfnetwork.com. Put in HGBT to Memfield. Get a sweet mug. Get a sweet Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt. Those are actually really great. I love them. I wear it all the time. And you get tons of other benefits. You get a discount on our conference that's coming up October 1st through the 3rd. Do not miss it. All right, here we go. The introduction, first page. Either God created the world or he didn't. Elijah asked, what is still a pertinent question? How long will you go limping between two different opinions? 1 Kings 18:21. If Yahweh is God, follow him. If man is God, follow him. In any case, choose this day whom you will serve. Many have failed to see that a false religion is afoot, but it is getting harder to ignore the philosophy and empty deceit which says man is the measure of all things that has been with us since Pythagoras. I might have said that name wrong too, because I'm not that smart. Yet it materialized in 1960s America in life-altering ways. Having thoroughly worked its way through our educational institutions, this vain ideology now advances in nearly every aspect of our civil and cultural experiences. This false religion is the same one God gave people up to in Romans 1. We have turned from worshiping the Creator to worshiping the creature. This religious system teaches that man is God and the human will is the holy standard. Salvation masquerades as that future state of universal equality attained by strict adherence to the Hegelian dialect? Again, not that smart. But in reality, it consists of satiating the unrestricted human appetite by any means necessary. So we do not leap upon altars crying out to Baal to send fire while cutting ourselves, 1 Kings 18:26. But we do leap up on cars and we riot in fiery streets, cutting down people's livelihoods while crying out to a finite governmental gods. We do not sacrifice our children to Molech, Leviticus 18:21, but we do sacrifice them to Planned Parenthood. That is just the first page of the introduction. And man, isn't that exactly right? Doesn't that just want you to just dive into this and really get into what they're going to talk about? I'm telling you. The book's fantastic. I just put it on my desk, which is probably what you heard. I was thinking today, talking about some things with Eric Kahn. Great podcast, great guy. You should check him out on Twitter. And we were going back and forth about being men, being hard, being tough. And I was thinking, even along with what this section of By What Standard is talking about, of we are in a war with false gods. We are in a culture that is worshiping these false gods. We are in a time where educational systems are preaching, proselytizing, discipling us into this false religion. And even thinking about Southern Seminary's statement, it was Southern Seminary, right? One of those, you know, Baptist leading seminaries that was saying that we are going to do in perpetuity with no caveats anything that the government says we should do to, you know, be safe with coronavirus. Any restrictions, any orders, any laws, any recommendations, we're going to do them all. And they're making people sign a covenant that they will get tested, that they will wear and abide by anything the government says or suggests, to come on campus and to be part of that seminary. And it's just absolutely shocking. And that's a Christian seminary. So you could imagine what public schools are going to do. You could imagine what secular universities are going to do. And we're getting to a place where it's going to be harder and harder to stand up for the faith, for the one true God. It's going to be easier and easier to bow down and to worship, to pay homage to wear the religious clothing of this false god, the government. And there are some difficult times that are coming up. And some of them could even land us into not finding places to be educated, even in a religious context like the seminary of the Southern Baptist Convention, the SBC. It could be that you cannot come to work unless you do these things. It could be that you will not get hired unless you can do these things. And it could be just the health right now. But we're seeing that how fast this is evolving. It's probably going to be a lot more than just health concerns going forward. It's going to be opinions. It's going to be statements. It's going to be your social media. I mean, we've already seen that, but you're going to have to provide proof. And there's going to be probably a lot of opportunities for us to deny the faith in one way or the other, to go against our conscience and what God is convicting us of one way or the other. And we could lose our jobs. We could have to sacrifice things. And God warned us about that there will be times where that we will need to do that, that we need to be able to hate our mother, our father, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, even ourselves, right? We got to take up our cross, follow him. He said, don't be surprised when the world hates you. It hated me first. And all that good stuff that we like to skip over because it doesn't make for a good positive message. But so this is what I'm thinking and what I would want you to consider, talk to your pastor about and talk to your family about. And it goes along with the 250 making 250 is we need to start incorporating means of production and economies where we can support each other, because there very well could be a day. There very well can be a time coming up soon where if you don't bow down and worship whatever the state is telling you, and the vehicle may be this health crisis, it may be the next thing, who knows what it's going to be, that you're not going to be able to get a job. And so I think it would be wise to start incorporating into our communities that we have, our local communities, and this will look different depending on where you're at. It will look different depending on your community, your church community, your family, the skills that you guys have, the resources you have, just like in any area. But I would highly recommend starting to talk and incorporate work into your church community. And what I mean by that is teaching each other skills, having accountability, building each other up, taking on younger kids that are in the church and discipling them into a trade. Maybe there's opportunities for you to learn and to develop skills at the church, maybe helping with the electrical, helping with the plumbing, trying to do some painting, getting experience that way. And start thinking strategically about how can we start to incorporate our families and our skills and our resources in our church community to edify the church, to build up each other, and to create a sustainable model where we aren't going to have to fear what the world's going to do if we reject the false gods, if we are castigated, if we are sent outside the gates, just like our Savior was, it talks about in Hebrews. And I really think it is time for us to start understanding the importance of being able to be self-reliant, not dependent on any one company, but to have skills and to be developing ourselves in a way where we can be on our own, where if we do get fired from our jobs, that we have some sort of skills that we can provide for ourselves until we find another job, or until this whole cultural revolution passes over, or maybe just we find ourselves being really successful on our own. And lastly, I think this is important for our pastors as well to be bivocational, and that they have skills where they can work and bring on a secondary income as well, which releases them from the slavery of the tithe and their denomination, whatever it may be. Because what happens, human nature, is you are dependent on the one who pays you. You are enslaved to the master, right? And the master is whoever is paying you for your time. It's determining what your worth is through money and all that stuff. I mean, it's not determining who your worth is, but the time that you're spending, you guys agree on an income, and that's how much you're worth. And so they're paying you what you're worth. anyways, that's neither here nor there. But I would just, I think that it's time for pastors to start being able to be independent of the tithing, or at least not completely beholden to it, so that when they have to stand up and make a stand and keep a church open and not close it down like John MacArthur's church did, or there you are going to say, no, you are not going to test everyone in my congregation, even though the denomination says it, that you have the power and the autonomy to be able to make those decisions without fearing losing your job and to be putting your family in danger by losing your income right away. And this needs to be true in our seminaries and our colleges as well. We need to be starting to find ways where we can build income multiple ways, be able to provide for each other in more than just a tithe to the church. But I think we start need to build in and to create more of a tight-knit family, because there is a war going on. There's a civil war, a cold war, some say warm war politically, but also there's the spiritual battle going on too. And both sides are playing for keeps, right? God is building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, but Satan is a ravaging lion looking for whom he can consume and destroy. And we see the armies mounting from the world, from the enemy. And there could be casualties, and there will be casualties, and there will be hurts, and there will be losses, and there will be struggles, and there will be trials. And I think it would be really wise for us to start thinking about how we can develop and cultivate not only our people coming up to adulthood, but also those who are in adulthood now that are reliant on one single family income or one single income, even pastors, where we can start diversifying and building out skills and finding ways to support each other and collaborate. I hope that makes sense. I hope that is edifying, and I hope that encourages you to start having these conversations. Just be thinking through it. Like, what do we do if our congregation, half our congregation loses their job for not denying the faith? What happens if we open up and the government shuts us down? Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to provide for our pastor? How are we going to provide for the people that work at our church? All of these different things. How are we going to continue to come together and meet? These are all the conversations we should have been having a long time ago, but I think right now is a time to do it. If you're not doing it, now is the time. We need to start thinking through what things could be and how we can prepare for them, and so how we could be victorious in the battles. That if we're not beholden to some secular company, if we aren't required to go get educated in a seminary that's going to require us to do silly things that are foolish, like sign an open-ended covenant with the government, we need to be able to be independent of those things and to be free to pursue God on our own. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Hope you have a great weekend. God bless.